Technorama episode 441, still attacking the darkness.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm here to slay the dragon and save the princess. Which way to the sorcerer's sanctuary?
Over there, in the media corner.
My hero.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Magic missile!
It's
I've
just
never been able to do that.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If it's your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. Unfortunately, Craig.
Chuck's not here.
Chuck's not here, man.
It's funny how those Freudian slips work.
Yeah, your Freudian slip. Sorry.
No more dessert wine before the show.
Exactly.
New rule. Craig is out camping with the scouts all week and is unable to join us, but I do have in the studio
Ben Ragginton and Keith Lane.
Hooray!
And there was much rejoicing.
Yes. And yeah. No more wine for me. It makes it too hot in here.
It is warm in here. We got the AC on full blast. So thank you for joining us, gentlemen.
Our pleasure.
Yes.
Again. And we have sort of a continuation of a discussion we had last week, which is going to be rather entertaining as we get going into the show. Hang on with us, because coming up in this show, we have Women Are Tougher Than You Think, Giant Fighting Robot Challenge. What could be better than that, except read your clothing tags? All that and more coming right up.
Look, at The Weird Show, we don't have the answers.
Heck no.
But we sure do love those questions. The Weird Show is a weekly roundup of strange news, odd views, and bizarre ideas, rearranged and packed together with open-mindedness, inquisitiveness, and just a touch of humor, all packed into a one-hour audio podcast that comes out just about every Saturday morning. Get it at theweirdshow.com.
And break out of your normal reality, at least for a little while.
I'm Kiman Karamidis, curator of the Interface Experience, and I love Technorama.
You know, with Craig not here, Donna reminded me that I have to do full production now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
And I don't know the whole process. This is going to be entertaining. So if the show notes don't look quite right on the website, you'll know whose fault it is.
Yeah.
The links aren't working or something.
Yeah.
Well, last week we asked you, we'll just play our traditional music. Yeah, right. Sing along.
I'm sure we could find new ways.
I think banjo would sound very nice.
Hi there, nice hill people.
Let's read some of them letters. We have asked you last week, what is the geekiest place you would like to visit, real or sci-fi? And one of my coworkers, Ben, writes, in the TARDIS. And another coworker jumped in. I don't know if he's a Technorama listener or not. I don't recognize it. But Corey says, then you could take the TARDIS any to the other places you wanted to
go.
There you
go. Hey,
I like that. Isn't that like asking for, you know, give me three wishes. I want multiple wishes.
Exactly.
I was thinking the same thing. That's sort of cheating the system. But we didn't have any rules, so it's up to you. We also got a response back from Myron, the holodeck from Star Trek, or, he said, the Nexus from Star Trek Generations.
Yeah,
the Nexus.
It's like being wrapped up in love in that blanket or whatever Guinan was calling it.
Yeah, that's always changing.
Yeah. I wonder if you see Guinan there.
I mean, first you got to go through the rip in the universe. That sounds painful.
And die.
Yeah, there's that side of it.
Yeah, so that after Generations... Does that set up a new paradox?
Did Kirk and Picard did they ever actually leave the Nexus? And everything we see after that is actually a Nexus fantasy?
No, because the Borg came along too.
Well, that's because Picard secretly wanted it.
He secretly wanted the Borg. Because he is part of it.
Because
I'm having a hard time grasping the Marvel universe at this point.
Because Picard fashions himself as Ahab.
There you go.
Speaking of Marvel universe, I just finished watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they were going through the whole timeline. You could tell exactly what episode was on the week after they released Age of Ultron.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They have to mention it.
Well, of course. Of course they do.
And it reminded me this past week, did you see the Age of Tin Man where they dropped in the Wizard of Oz?
I have seen that. I didn't see that.
That was very entertaining.
It's very clever. I found that very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Look for it on YouTube. Nerdy laugh. We also have a responder from Tim, who has appeared on this show from time to time. He says he wants to go to the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, that could be fun. He wants to go to the black hole.
I think he wants to be the cause of the black hole, which is going to be one of those paradox things again.
Yeah.
And then he has to come back and do the black hole thing, so don't let him go.
I'm sensing a meme.
A meme.
Me.
And then we have this interesting recording from a couple of jokers in the studio.
Who?
Thank you for calling Star Tourists Fun Unlimited, the one and only place to call for travel to the exotic. At this time, all of our planning and protocol droids are busy assisting other clients.
Uh-huh.
Your approximate wait time for the next droid is...
Access denied.
At STFU, we understand your time is valuable. So while you hold, we would like to share the details of some of our more exotic destinations.
Oh, goody.
Have you ever dreamed of visiting the dilithium mines of Praxis? At STFU, we can take you where no one has gone before. Extra fees for proper safety equipment will be assessed and are non-refundable. What about the planet of Krypton, a very advanced civilization with fabulous soaring cities and wondrous art? Please note, there have been reports of some slight sociopolitical squabbles,
but
General Zod has assured us there is no reason to worry of earthquakes or planetary collapse.
Call that one.
Are you into racing? Try the Kessel Run for the greatest thrill in any parsec. And instead of staying on dirty, overcrowded Kessel, try the Garrison Moon of Kessel for its great and wondrous views. Oh, there's a note here. It appears there was an incident with a prototype moon-like Imperial base station. All travel to Garrison Moon of Kessel has been terminated.
Where can we go?
If the arts and architecture are your cup of Ractigino, then Alderaan is your destination. Whether you want to visit the cities built on a cliff wall or the plains surrounding the many lakes, you are certain to see some nerf herding. There's another note. All travel to Alderaan has been canceled due to the rebel spy conspiracy. What about the mysterious planet of Gallifrey?
Ooh, Gallifrey.
We have managed to get special clearance to book new adventures to this extremely exotic destination. There is no time like... Oh, wait. Another update. It seems that Gallifrey no longer exists in our database.
I wonder why.
At STFU... We have come to expect the unusual, so if you want to visit any of these destinations, we suggest you visit Recall. Thank you for calling STFU.
I had to do some research on that.
Yeah, and he did a lot.
You really crossed a lot of genres there.
Yeah,
a lot of stream crossing on
that. Because I actually did, to find that Kessel Run, the Garrison Moon of Kessel was actually, there's a Wikipedia entry on that. That it was destroyed by a prototype.
That's in the expanded universe.
Yeah, a prototype Death Star. And so that's why the note that it was a prototype Imperial base station.
Well played.
Very well played.
And then Alderaan, I did the research on Alderaan, and they have cities built on a cliff wall and planes and all this. And the Nerf is actually from Alderaan.
Oh,
that's,
I thought...
That's why she calls him a scruffy Nerf herder.
Oh, wow.
It's an Alderaan reference.
Yeah.
But again, that all stems from the expanded universe.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Let's do the history thing. Maybe we can get it done inside of our 6 minutes and 18 seconds this time.
I wouldn't count on it.
Well, Craig's not here to butcher any pronunciations.
On this day in history, for July 8th, 2015, this is the 189th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 176 days remaining until the end of all time. It was on this date in 1497 that Vasco da Gama set sail on the first direct European voyage to India.
Around the Cape of Good Hope?
Yes. That same day, 136 years ago, the sailing ship USS Jeannette departs San Francisco carrying an ill-fated expedition to the North Pole.
You don't hear too much about the ill-fated expeditions,
no,
do you?
No. The first issue of the Wall Street Journal is published on this date in 1889.
So where do they come up with the volume numbers? You notice on the Wall Street Journal, there's like volume and edition, and there's...
Oh, who knows?
It's like I have no idea.
280-something or other. Okay, it's been a while.
Yeah.
July 5th, 1932, the Dow Jones Industrial... Speaking of the Wall Street Journal, industrial average reaches its lowest level of the Great Depression, closing at 4122.
Holy
sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll buy the whole market.
Exactly.
Reports are broadcast that UFO crash landed in Roswell, New Mexico, in what became known as the Roswell UFO incident on this date in 1947. Lies!
A weather balloon.
It was all Ferengi!
It was the Ferengi.
Apparently we have our own conspiracy theories on this one.
Yes.
Yeah. 55 years ago, Francis Gary Powers is charged with espionage resulting from the flight over the Soviet Union.
Lies, lies. It was
more
the
lies.
Ferengi.
It was the Ferengi.
More lies. More lies.
Space Shuttle Atlantis is launched in the final mission of the U.S. Space Shuttle program already 4 years ago today.
Lies! Wow. I'm sorry. Couldn't say.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to the inventor of Coca-Cola, John Pemberton, born on this date in 1831.
Eli Lilly, American industrialist, soldier, and pharmaceutical chemist, was born today in 1838.
Born on the same date in the same year, founder of the Zeppelin Airship Company, Ferdinand von Zeppelin.
Whoopee!
I
want to
call
Zeppelin.
Him Ferdinand von Led Zeppelin.
No, different. I was thinking Led Zeppelin when I wrote this, too. Founder of the Standard Oil Company. Apparently, if you founded something back then, you became infamously rich.
Yeah.
Standard Oil Company, John D. Rockefeller was born today in 1839.
And several actors are celebrating their birthdays today, including Marty Feldman, who would have been
81.
Igor. Yes.
Kevin Bacon turns 57.
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows Kevin Bacon.
Is that 6 degrees?
Is that 6 degrees?
Yeah.
Will Smith's son, Jaden Smith, is 18.
And finally, chef and actor Wolfgang Puck turned 66. I was thinking about something I heard him say on the radio.
Yeah, he said on
He was interviewed on
Beth and Bill when
really?
Aubergine was getting ready to open at...
Over at the...
Biltmore.
Biltmore.
And he's...
Talking about local food.
Can we say something
sure?
Off color? He said, their food is shitty. And Beth says,
you can't say that on the radio.
And he said, what? Shitty?
He said
kept
it again.
Saying it, and it went out over
he
the
said,
air. It was
you
great.
Said it again.
Oh, no.
They had no delay button.
No beep, no nothing.
It was great fun.
It was fun.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for July 8th, 2015. Play it out, man.
As they fade off into the sunset.
See you later.
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile.
Oh, that was so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Good startling news, everyone.
Well, the startling news is that scientists are officially done looking for craters on Earth.
Craters on
really?
Earth?
Yeah. This is interesting. I went, well, how do you know when you're done? Well, apparently they know when they're done. Science is meant to be unceasing, always skeptical search for knowledge. So it's not often that scientists cash in, call it a day.
That says skeptical, actually.
I can read what they can't, right?
You have a crystal ball.
I've been working with Craig for a long time.
Anyway, what's this article about?
Punched out and called it there. They declared the problem all scienced out, and then they move on. But that's exactly what the team counting asteroid craters on Earth are doing. You might think that it would be easy to find large asteroid impact craters. After all, we're talking about a hole in the Earth 50 miles wide. But unlike on the moon Mars, we've got erosion and plate tectonics and things that make it go bye-bye. There are 128 known craters on the Earth wider than 6 kilometers. And according to a new study due to be published in the September edition of Earth and Planetary Science Letters, anyone searching for others is just, quote, wasting time and their research grants. Uh-oh. The team from the University of Freiburg says the number of discovered craters matches up with the number that should exist. Now, that doesn't sound very science-y at all.
Yeah,
no,
at all.
That's like saying, well, the number that we found is exactly the number that we found.
Hey, that's the number that it should be, because we said it should be.
Until someone comes and overturns the...
Oh, we forgot. We miscarried a one or something.
We forgot to search the ocean. What were we thinking?
Oh, yeah. The ocean is one giant impact crater.
Yeah, I read that. You sure you're done? You sure?
Yeah.
You sure? You're really
sure? I kind of want to know what science is involved in that. Dentistry?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the science, and earlier it was Eli Lilly that... He was a famous pharmacist, and,
yes.
You know, I saw a post on Facebook that says in school, in science, you know, becoming a chemist, et cetera, you're finding a cure for cancer, and once you graduate, you spend your entire life coming up with different recipes for shampoo.
Oh, okay. Man.
There's a degree gone to waste.
Yep.
Oh, well, the man who invented text messaging has passed on.
Oh, my God. He's got one of the bricks.
He's got a black brick phone.
Wow.
Does that say Nokia or...
I don't know. It looks like Motorola.
Okay.
The Motorolas were gray, weren't they?
The Motorola StarTAC looked an awful lot like that. Anyway.
I have no idea.
It's a sad day in the cell phone world because Matti Mäkinen, widely considered the father of SMS, has died from illness at the tender age of 63. Oh, the Finnish creator pitched the concept for text messaging over cellular networks in 1984 and helped get the ball rolling on the technology in its earliest days.
So he finished creating it?
He was quick to downplay his involvement. And saw SMS as
I thought it was Kevin Flynn.
Joint?
Yeah. Yeah.
From?
Tron!
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was hoping you were going that direction.
Sorry.
He's still alive, by the way.
The article's just gone to hell now.
Flynn lives. It's one of those technologies that people take for granted so much that you don't realize what the genesis was. You know, a lot of the early internet technologies were just filling a need. They weren't out to license anything or create something creative.
Well, the first cell phones, I remember the cell phone Motorola two-way radio telephone that actually had a keyed mic, and it was this big thing that people carried around in their car, and you keyed the mic, and you literally would call another number, and it was a really... That was in the 70s.
Well, I also remember that, SMS, you know, any kind of text messaging has almost rendered casual email communication obsolete.
Just about.
Because, I mean, I remember when
unless you don't know what somebody's...
Well, yeah, unless you don't. But for people, when email was first made available, it was such a great form of almost instant communication with somebody.
Yeah,
right.
And now with SMS, I mean, I was even able to set up my mother on her AOL account an SMS method of communicating with me right away. So it's like email is almost totally unnecessary now except for junk.
That's almost like time travel.
She's AOL's
SMS
last paying
to AOL
customer.
To email.
Yeah.
She's AOL's last paying customer.
She is AOL's last paying customer. Yeah.
We can't shut down the 2400 baud modem.
No, we still have a woman using it.
Ben's mom is still out there. Where are we? We are on the birthday calendar. We have several. In fact, since we won't be here next week, we'll do a few extra just so you don't say that we're missing something. And we have a birthday boy in the studio. See which one you can guess it is.
How about that?
Happy birthday goes out. On the 8th, we have Mark Lee, a.k.a. GeekDad72, stardate 35151909.
He made that up.
He made that up. There are no six-digit Star Trek numbers.
Actually, in the original series, there were a couple times. And in the original series, there were a couple of times where it did happen very early on. Well, they were making the stuff up. There was no continuity behind it. No, there was no canon behind it. They said, the showrunner said they totally made up the numbers. There was no science behind it.
So they weren't even in sequence.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
Oh, wait. This says maybe it's minus 351. Oh, because he's 400 years in the past.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart, man. I missed the negative number.
He still made it up.
You never know. With the internet, there probably is some Stardate calculator.
Well, I'm sure there's a science there now.
Let's go with the birthday calendar. July 8th is also... April 8th rolls off the tongue because it's Donna's and my first date. Okay, TMI. There you go.
I see.
1987. All right. Since we're on the birthdays and the weird dates are coming
July
out.
July 8th.
No, I mentioned we were watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Just finished up season two.
Yep.
They found out Skye's birthday.
Right.
I won't go into any spoilers, but the date is July 2nd, 1988. I looked at my watch when I was watching. I went, "Happy birthday, Skye!"
Oh, July
2nd. Oh my God!
It was just one of those. Did they just say July 2nd? Yeah, sure enough. Happy birthday, Skye.
Oh yeah.
Well, you're now 27.
Well, after that kind of coincidence, you're never going to win the lottery.
I know. We've had a couple of those, and it's like we can never win the lottery in the next six lifetimes because of the coincidences.
All right.
Where is my?
We're on July 8th. Alan Ralph, aka Mon Templar. KHD, a.k.a. The Devon, is July 10th. That's Kevin Devon. Used to do a podcast called In the Trenches many, many moons ago. One of the first ones I ever listened to. Happy birthday to Kevin. He's one of our friends in tech when we had a friends in tech group. Well, we still have a group, but...
Yeah, friends in tech, but you don't have a friends in tech group.
Born on 7-11, Steve Trow, a.k.a. Redneck Tech. Shadowbird 712, which is Jeremy... Come on, we went back and forth on how do you say his last name?
Oh, my God.
Keel?
Kyle.
Kyle. Kyle. Yeah.
Shit. Oh. Whoops.
That's three. We're going to throw in our own piece.
At 59.
I can't talk anymore.
He puts in shadowbirdsrandomcrap.blogspot.com. Sorry for the cheap plug, y'all. Francois Pominville. Nickname Bookaroo. We haven't heard from Bookaroo in a long time. He was born in year 11110110001.
Okay, quickly.
Let's see. 1 plus 16 plus 32. This is a year. I can't do the higher order bits. I can give you his age if he did it right.
I haven't had to do binary since I was in college. Forget it.
Your turn. Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, Ben, on the 13th. Yeah.
A week from Monday.
Thank you. Thank you. And my mother thanks you.
Two birthdays on the 18th. Lord Dumicus, which I think is funny and threatening at the same time. And Nikolai from Dancing with Elephants, who has to be probably about 12 now, if my math is somewhat correct. I saw a picture of him in our photo album. He was interviewing me for their podcast in 2007, so if 8 years have gone by, you do the math. I think maybe he's 13. Oh, man. These kids grow up fast. Happy birthday to you if it's your birthday sometime in July. We'll just go with that. And you're not on the birthday calendar. If you are, thank you. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, chuckchat.com/wiki. And we will be back momentarily. Where's my music? Music! No, music!
There we go.
Can I blame it on you?
Yeah. It's me.
He's pushing all the wrong buttons. With Hacks and Strange Stories and some more cool stuff, stick around.
Will the computer guy.
Dun-dun-dun-dun!
The man with his own voicemail show.
Will the computer guy. It's a voicemail from Will the Computer Guy. Doesn't this guy have anything better to do?
We're just having fun, you know that.
Yeah.
Again.
We're
sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Access denied.
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
And it's your own fault.
Well, those bumpers got ruined.
What else is new?
I'm not going to say it.
Since we're having so much fun, have you ever read the tags on your clothing or the towels in the bathroom or anything? They're usually about the same thing.
Yeah. Pretty generic.
Yeah, well, we'll break that monotony up and make you start reading the tags again. We could just like rotate around the table on these.
Oh, that's okay? Good.
Number one, Top Gear. These t-shirts were tested on animals. They didn't fit.
And then we got cold wash only, don't tumble dry, don't iron print, don't slap pandas.
Okay.
The latest sport, panda slapping.
Or give it to your mother. She knows how to do it. It has all these icons of no bleach, no...
Don't iron it, 40 degrees C. Yeah.
Or give it to your mother. She knows how to do it.
For best results, machine wash cold, tumble dry low, never iron design. For worst results, drag through puddle behind car, blow dry on roof rack.
Hey!
And then we got here, machine wash...
Ooh. This one comes from a pair of boxer shorts or some other under-brief garment.
All right, you have to read all of it. So.
Okay, 52% cotton, 48% polyester. Machine wash, cold, inside out, with like colors. Do not bleach. Tumble dry low. Do not iron decoration. Always wash your butt. Keep away from fire, especially when wearing.
And farting.
What's so great, though, is that always wash your butt. There's actually a little diagram of a butt.
And then, what is it? Live tour? It's pretty impressive that you have found this label.
Because sometimes they're tucked under.
They're folded in.
Always wear me on a first date. You'll do awesome.
Hey,
wow. I'm signing up for that.
This one says 100% Christmas, and the icons is like glass of wine. There's a turkey, the Christmas tree, a Christmas ornament, and a gift. Take it easy. Relax. Eat. Drink and be merry. Do not diet. Smile.
Do not diet. Yeah. That's
And it looks like it's attached to elastic.
Yeah, could very well be, which is a good idea.
100% cotton. Machine wash warm, inside out, with light colors. Only non-chlorine bleach. Tumble dry medium. Do not iron. Do not dry clean. Do not feed after midnight. Made in China.
Mogwai. What is the purpose of non-chlorine bleach?
It's like what's that stuff we use?
OxyClean?
OxyClean.
Oh, okay.
That's a non-chlorine bleach.
Is it technically a bleach if it doesn't have chlorine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does whiten things.
Brighten colors.
It's an oxidizing bleach.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what it is. Yeah.
100% cotton. Machine wash cold. It's never so hot that you have to take off your shirt. Don't be that guy.
Mm-hmm. And we got, okay. Oh, my word. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Warning. This zipper may harm your penis. Zip with caution. And then it is in French.
Same thing.
Cette fermeture éclair peut blesser votre pénis.
I'm glad you can read it.
I'm guessing
a guy holding his hands.
Holding his crotch.
Yeah. And this one has all of the icons.
The standard wash with light colors.
And this is obviously from the UK because it says dark colors, colours, to be washed separately. Turn inside out before washing. Do not iron prints and badges. No bleaching, no tumble dry. It is made on Earth.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Hey. Made on
Praxis. You don't want those alien products.
Size X1. Try on a small. Come on. It'll be funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay, there's a lot here. Hey, if I didn't put a smile on your face, there's got to be something wrong with your face. Go see a doctor. Otherwise, slip me on and wear me home. I'm machine washable and tumble dryable, but I don't like irons and bleach. Makes me crazy. I'm 90-10 cotton poly and made in Mexico from U.S. parts.
On Earth.
On Earth, exactly. Okay.
State the obvious.
Wash this when dirty.
Not before. Made in China, 60 cotton, 40 poly. You can dance if you want to. Wash separately, cold machine wash, do not bleach, blah, blah, blah. Do not dry clean.
You can dance if you want to.
Yeah. No. That's what Mike said also. It's not the safety dance. That's we can dance if we want to.
Oh, you can dance.
Madonna said you can dance if you want to.
Oh.
Ah. Not too much nerdy 80s music in my head. Wait, there's more.
All right. Machine wash, gentle cold. Use gentle detergent. No bleach. Line dry. No iron. Do not dry clean. Do not wear for sumo wrestling.
You'd be overdressed, I guess.
I'd like to know what it is.
And this one's in French, too, right below it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not even going to try it.
And then there is, on one side, it says kangaroo poo. And on the other side is, if I had to explain, you wouldn't understand.
Is that an Australian tag?
So I think so. Must probably be.
Mr. Douglas Alexander, let us know if there is a brand in Australia called Kangaroo Poo and explain, because I don't understand. Size M for manly, just like you hope to be someday.
Ow. Oh. Very simple. Size, fat.
Whatever it is, it's 1,620 yen.
Yeah. 80% cotton, 20% polyester. See reverse for care, made in China. I have dental pain.
I read that the first time. I thought it said, I have a dental plan.
I thought so, too.
Well, when I glanced at it, that's what I thought it said. And I thought, what?
I thought you read it wrong, because I'm like, no, I swear it said, I have a dental plan. Like, well, good for you, but I like dental pain better. What do we got? Icon, machine wash cold with light colors. Another icon, iron if needed. Do not iron on decoration. Tumble dry low. Remove promptly. Dry in shade, not under direct sun. Can be washed by both men and women. Hashtag share the load.
Good grief. Size S. The smaller you are, the more room there is in your parents' basement.
Okay.
That's harsh.
On this tag, it has a salad dressing recipe, original and simple. The recipe is 1/4 cup grated orange peel, 1/4 cup grated lemon peel, 1/2 cup grated coconut, 1 teaspoon powdered sugar, 1 cup sour cream. Mix all ingredients in a large bowl and chill for several hours. Serve over fresh food or serve on the side. Salad dressing?
So that means you can wear it, and then when you're done, you can eat it.
Sugar?
This one sounds like a weird set. This is what makes me think maybe one or more of these is a hoax.
Yeah.
And finally, we have not dishwasher safe for external use only. Contents may be hot. And then it's kind of like
an HTML tag.
/tag.
That's a tag.
That's brilliant.
That's a tag.
That's a tag.
Or hashtag would have worked also.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Cute. Brilliant.
Yes, those are.
I never see any of those when I buy clothes.
Me neither, but I'm going to start looking more. All right. Bad story gone horribly wrong from Oddity Central. I found a new website for good Technorama material.
Dear.
If you call our Technorama. Guy tries wearing high heels for a day to prove women are whiners, but he fails miserably.
Oh.
All right. The story goes on for a little bit, so I'm going to summarize. Effectively,
well,
this guy
pretty high heels.
He
there.
Put stilettos.
Stilettos
yeah. Of all things. Yeah, this is
start
not
out
beginner
with pumps.
Stuff, right? And in about an hour and a half, he's walking with bent knees, and he can't really walk very well.
I wonder why.
He swears a couple times in the video. Of course,
yeah. Uh-huh.
He had plans of going all day, but he only made it from about 8 a.m.
to 8:01.
Well, no, 7:15 p.m. When
wow.
He says, you know, I had plans of going dancing and some other things tonight.
Uh-uh.
Oh, dear God.
He threw him out the window.
I'm willing to bet he didn't walk for the next 3 days.
His well, it was because he adjusted his posture. Then his knees started hurting and his calves
exactly.
Were aching bacon. It was horrible downhill the whole way. It was, you know, women are tough. The goal was to get an appreciation for what women go through, but he never really admitted he got to that goal.
Right.
It was just, Guy was a total
show and his pig.
Dick. This is one of our harsher shows.
Bro Bible.
Normally, we'd give this opportunity in the show to give a shout out to the chat room.
But
we're still offline from the video feed. And we appreciate those of you who have contributed, including our own Keith Lane in here.
Oh, thank you.
This is call for another applause. Yay! Double applause. Golf clap.
Yeah.
We are that much closer to our goal of getting the upgrade to Wirecast. So we
curse
can get back
you, YouTube.
Curse you. Yeah, YouTube. Next time, send out a memo or something because you know I've been broadcasting. Dinner's ready at the Kung Pao Theater. I've lost some of the sound effects now. Where was I? Oh, we appreciate
donations.
All of you who are donating. There are many.
That was
you.
My sound effect for a donation.
Oh, thank you. Some of you have donated as monthly contributors with just a couple of bucks. Others have gone to the one-time donation. We appreciate it. Craig and I are still working out the details of how to do a Patreon thing and what the reward system is there. We will get that online. But please don't hesitate. We need your help. Donna's giving me the stink eye, and she's currently is about as unemployed as you can get when you're unemployed. She doesn't even have the job of running the video on Sunday nights, which is sad. So please consider giving my wife something to do once a week.
Oh, sorry.
She
can fly around a little bit.
Good thing she can't hear that.
I hope she doesn't listen to the episodes when they air.
We'll have to listen to this on the drive to San Diego.
Yeah, right.
And I get thrown out in the middle of the desert.
And we'll never be back on the show
exactly.
again.
Exactly. We'll be banned from the house.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
There were a lot of stories this week about robots. VW plant, the robot went nuts and harmed an employee. So
I heard about that.
It's starting to sound more and more.
Our like robot overlords are beginning to take over.
Yeah, Skynet is coming online sooner than we thought.
Soon.
And this one.
Star Tours.
Star Tours, no, please.
Sorry.
This one intrigued me as well. I paraphrased it and took some of the text out of the article just to clean it up a bit. It was from a rather raunchy site. But in other sad robot news, Megabots, a U.S. robotics company, which makes it sound like the old modems, but I don't think they make modems. They've challenged a Japanese robotics company, Tsutobashi Heavy Industries, maker of the Kuratas personal mech, to a giant robot battle.
Wasn't there a movie with Hugh Jackman about this?
Pacific Rim?
No.
Oh,
what was it?
Boxing. It was Rock'em Sock'em Robots, basically.
Yeah. That's what this sounds like. Yeah. The one from Megabots currently shoots paintballs at high velocity, and it's a 2-seater, 12,000-pound robot.
Oh my lord!
So I mean, it's pretty massive. The one from Japan is only 9,000 pounds and a 1-seater, which is probably why they challenged them, because they want to pick on the smaller one.
Yeah,
but the Japanese, you got to admit, they're on top of their robotic stuff.
They have their tech.
Yeah.
They said, now, neither of these are really battle ready, so we're going to give each team a year to retrofit and do any upgrades that they need. They said, hey, Japan, pick the battlefield and we'll be there.
About that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the post on Facebook of somebody made one of the, what are the little walker from Star Wars? The little one?
Oh, yeah, the AT-ST.
The AT-ST?
The jungle one.
The jungle one. And they put a front of a VW bus on top of it.
It was funny. I can see that.
All-terrain VW.
That's funny.
It was funny.
You got to put like the 60s flowers on it.
Yeah, exactly.
As it goes just stomping through a forest.
Play some Grateful Dead coming out. Smoke coming out of the top. Could happen. We do have something in the Geek Library. Oh, we have to play our new Geek Library music. Dun, 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 dun. Sign me up. Punch my card. All right, in the Geek Library, we have NASA. Have you been to NASA in Florida? At the Kennedy Space Center?
No, we've driven by Canaveral, though.
Well, and you can see the Canaveral launch, the big
the launch, the actually EDA, the building or the, yeah, where they were housing the shuttle.
We, the VAB.
You can see it
from the ships.
From the ships that are docked at Port Canaveral.
Yeah.
I thought it was just cool that they retrofitted the same building for the Saturn V rockets to the shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wow, there's some.
It was pretty impressive to be able to see just from the freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there in 05, I want to say, somewhere around there with the family. And they've got the rocket museum where you can see a Redstone rocket next to. They don't have a Saturn V there because it's just so massive.
It's too big.
It's actually inside laying down in its own building.
Indeed. Wow.
Monstrous thing. But they've got other ones that sent up, you know, the Gemini missions and the
Mercury.
The Mercury, yeah. And some of these are ridiculously small.
Wow.
You think, you know,
well, the Mercury capsule was tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, they've set up a new exhibit for the Challenger and Columbia missions
with
actual artifacts.
Wow.
Yeah. If you click through the show note links, you'll see things like the windshield from one of them.
Wow.
Ooh. You know, the whole main viewing thing. They've got paraphernalia from the people. I don't think they actually took these on the mission. But they've got artifacts representing the crew of the Space Shuttle's Challenger and the Columbia. So there's airplanes, because many of them were pilots.
Right, right.
Not all of them. I mean, there were a good number of scientists and things. Looks like somebody was a martial artist. There's a gi with a black belt and a katana. So there's, it just looks like a beautiful place. This is, what was the square footage on this baby? It was
2,000 square feet.
Where'd you see that?
Third paragraph.
2,000 square feet, yeah. Which is a fair size exhibit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like it's morbid, you know, from a disaster standpoint, so much as, you know, historical,
right,
and a
right.
nice memorial
right.
kind of thing. So they've done a really nice job.
That's great.
So I would like to go see that.
Yeah.
I want to go again.
You got to go sometime. Yeah.
Sometime.
Florida. Florida enough.
Got to look at the next opportunity. It's probably going to be 18 to 24 months away, but I wasn't podcasting. Oh, I was podcasting back then. If it was 05, might have to get some new Technorama material.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? We're way early. This is a short show.
Speaking of, we just celebrated our 1-year anniversary here.
For our podcast.
Ago. Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah. Let's do some more. Is 1 year old.
There. Yeah. Oh, there's your mention. Oh, wait. No, oh, no. Sorry. Yeah. No, is it this one? No. I'll find it. No. Where's my desk bell? Somebody stole my desk bell. Thanks. I have to go find my desk bell.
Oh, well.
What a shame.
And we thought it was going to be a Mission Impossible.
All right, this week's... We're not much into video games on this show because I don't play a whole lot of them.
I'm not much of a gamer. I mean, the classic arcade games I'm really big on, but that's all.
But that's exactly my question. What old classic video game would you like to see remade, remastered, or rebooted? Because
Frogger!
They just came out with... They're redoing a new version of Battlezone. The 1998 version of Battlezone.
Oh, wow.
Which was already a remastered of, you know, the old 82, 83.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So I think that would be even more fun. I didn't play the 98 one, but I think...
More funner.
I didn't play the 81... I played the 82 one.
Unlike movies, where you can completely destroy a story,
right?
Video games, the technology advances. So imagine, you know, the old vector graphics Battlezone today's technology, where you've got things like the Microsoft Kinect or, a lot of the technologies that can really enhance your gaming experience. Maybe the Oculus Rift. Ooh, that would be fun with Battlezone. be a little dangerous.
What were some of those? What was the one that you had to twist the thing and it was the... Oh, shoot.
Missile Command?
I liked Missile Command.
You were in
Missile
Command really weird... It was this almost like this tunnel.
Yeah.
Tempest.
Yes. I loved Tempest. And then what was the robot one? You had to kill all the... The zombie clone robots?
Robotron 2048?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
All right, listeners, help us out. We know what demographic we're targeting.
Yeah.
Even if you just played like early versions of Mario, that would be fun.
Yeah.
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 I remember I had the original Nintendo.
They've done everything else with Mario Brothers. Why not?
And Legend of Zelda. That was a tough to get one.
But you think of what they have done with the Mario franchise from the old days where you're flipping turtles and crabs and butterflies to racing cars. Wait, Mario racing cars. But it's still a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really in that same world, but you've got the same characters around you.
Right.
So what could they possibly do to maybe some of those old franchises? Battlezone doesn't have to be, move your two joystick controller and shoot the saucer and the missile. There could be other elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get imaginative, listeners. Now. I'm gonna give you 2 weeks to think about this one because we're off next week.
What was that? The original video game. Oh shoot,
Pong.
No,
that's original.
Yeah, Pong. Thank you.
Space Command.
No, the aliens dropping down on you. Oh shoot.
Space Invaders?
Space Invaders.
There we go. Good God. How could I not remember that? Jesus. I put enough quarters in that thing.
Go on with Gorf, Star Castle, Asteroids.
Space Invaders. The original one that was the arcade game that all the bars and everybody had. And, of course, at that time I was at Oklahoma State, and there was only one bar originally that had one. And the line was incredible for Space Invaders. And, of course, they let you, for your iPad... There's a little thing that you can download that's supposed to be Space Invaders, but it crashes the iPad. It's like,
that's no fun.
No, that's not fun.
The arcade games for the iPad are not very good.
Is that one you got a jailbreak to use?
I don't know. Yeah, it was some kind of weird thing, and it was like, what?
I had a strange relationship with my best buddy Mark in high school. He was very talented at video games. He'd get, the high scores, and everybody had their favorites, but he seemed to have more favorites that he was good at, Tempest being one of them.
Oh, God.
He was always better than me at Missile Command, at Centipede, at just about every game that we encountered.
Sounds like my friends in school.
That damn Tron game.
The odd part was, I had the money.
Oh.
So, guess who was always bumming a quarter? and the debt went up. And if I had played my cards right, I'd be in a better business position than I am today.
Sure you would. Wow.
So that was, I could financially outdo him. And I guess if I spent enough time and money, I could have. There were a couple that we were closer to equals on. So
right.
It's never any fun playing against somebody if they're constantly beating you.
Right.
No.
Right. Exactly.
So. No. I mean, if you're ever down in Orlando and you ever go to Disney World, now this is going away very soon, but at Downtown Disney, they have a place called Disney Quest, which is going to be demolished soon, but they have one floor there, which is
at least they used to.
Yeah. Well, the last time we were there, they had a floor that's all classic arcade games.
Really?
Yeah. And once you pay your admission to go into Disney Quest, you can play these games for free.
No tokens, no quarters, no nothing.
You have to go get the tokens, but the tokens are free.
I guess so, because I played Frogger over and over and over and over.
Frogger.
And over, which is my favorite. I love that game.
A 3D first-person Frogger.
I would do that. I would play that. 3D first-person. That'd be fun.
Ooh. Wow, that would be great.
Look left, look right, look left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jump on the girly frog.
Good discussion. I want to keep going with that, but we are running out of time, so we're going to wrap that up. Thank you very much, Ben.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome.
Wish you come back again soon.
I think we shall, unless we've alienated too many people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or planetary collapse.
But that could happen if we sign up for Star Tours Fun Unlimited.
Yeah, STFU.
Thank you very much, listener, for joining us. Remember, we will not be doing a show. Well, you know what? You probably listen to these in random order and binge watch and all the other stuff. So, never mind. We're going to be right back, I guess, if that's the way your time stream flows. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading the show. And don't forget, donate, please. Get us back on the video. Hopefully, that won't have already happened. Actually, I hope it does already happen by the time you hear this. But if not, donate anyway. There's lots of other expenses. Till next time. Binary high five, gentlemen.
101.
What is that?
10 and another 1.
Wee!